My name is Nicole Kosma, and as Sarah said, I'm the program coordinator for the Institute. You'll see another website listed up here, and that is a website that you can go to with the mission and goals of the Institute, information about our fellows, information about our mentors, about our coaching component, all of the curriculum. You'll see that map that Rob displayed with the states in green. Showing where the fellows have come from. You can click on the map and get the names of the people from that state. So if you saw that your state was green, you might want to go and click on that and see who from your state has attended the Institute, and then you might be able to get in contact with them. Or if you notice that your state was still yellow, please apply, because my goal is that whole map is going to turn green and someone from every state is going to be able to participate in the Institute. During my brief presentation today, I hope that I can give you a better understanding of the Institute curriculum, expectations that we have of the fellows, and also a little understanding on the Institute assignments. We spoke briefly about the application process. Applications are accepted in the fall. They are sent to the CDC. The CDC will then collect those, score those, and select the class of fellows. The class for cohort 4, the applications were to be taken until October 31st, and I believe a decision was going to be made on last Friday if we were going to continue, and neither one of us know, but try anyway. I mean, you can go to the website that Rob had on his slide, and it will state if they're still taking applications for next year. And and if you're interested, come see me after the presentation. Give me your business card, and I will contact you directly and let you know next week if we are still taking applications for the next class. One of the best things, also mentioned by Rob about this institute, there's no cost to the fellow or the fellow's agency to participate. Tuition, transportation, lodging, and any other associated cost with the institute is covered by us. Now, to direct your question about federal employees, you might see a lack of having federal employees because we cannot cover federal employees to be part of the Institute. So, for example, there is Joe Sarcone this year from Alaska. He really wanted to be a part of the Institute. It's all out of his pocket. So for him to come to the meetings, we meet 4 times, it's out of his pocket. We have another federal employee who made a deal with his supervisor this year that he would not do any additional training besides this institute for at least another year or so. So that could be one of the reasons why we don't see so many federal employees in the program. Because we are spread throughout the United States, we use several methods to communicate during the year, including face-to-face meetings, conference calls, and email communications. It is a year-long commitment. They are working professionals. They already have their job. They're adding this to their plate. We do meet 12 days for the Environmental Public Health Leadership Institute. Those have been held in St. Louis and Atlanta. And then they also will meet for 4 days in Kentucky for the Environmental Health Training and Disaster Response. There is leadership project work, individual leadership skill assessment, and development planning, including a 360-degree assessment, and I'll speak a little later about that, individual self-assessment coaching, a mentoring program, and distance learning action activities. In order for the fellow to graduate, we expect that they will attend all of the face-to-face meetings, actively participate on conference calls, complete all of the assignments, and understand the Institute curriculum. This slide lists the curriculum topics that are covered in the Institute. You can see that we spend a large amount of time on systems thinking. It's a core curriculum topic, and we spend about 8 hours at each session on this topic. In addition, The fellows will complete two intercession assignments on systems thinking to work on towards their project. And they will also have two conference calls with a systems thinking faculty advisor. And those conference calls last about 2 hours each. We also spend about 8 hours total on individual development and conflict management. And then the other topic areas are between 2 to 4 hours. We mentioned a mentoring component of the program. There are 13 mentors participating in this year's institute. 9 were appointed by the CDC, and 4 are alumni from cohort 1 and 2. The class was divided into 13 teams of 3 to 5 fellows, so we keep them small teams. And the mentor teams are required to meet via telephone at least 4 times, although we find they schedule monthly phone calls or every 2 weeks. Every team is a little different. And they will also meet face-to-face at the sessions in St. Louis and Atlanta. The teams are also asked to develop a team charter. And the mentors are provided with a mentor guide that was developed by the Institute and also are given the book Action Learning in Action by Michael Marquette. We also have an executive coaching component to the Institute. This has been a part of the program that continues to grow each year. Cohort 1, I believe we had 5 fellows requesting an executive coach. It grew to about, I believe, 19 fellows for cohort 2, and I believe 26 fellows for cohort 3. So every year, more and more fellows are requesting this executive coaching component, and I'm having to go out and recruit more coaches. So I think it's a good thing, though. The fellows can sign up for a coach after the first session, and the coach will help the fellows dig a little bit deeper into the self-assessments and pull out those leadership skills that they would like to improve upon during the year. And they can actually help them develop the individual development plan, which is one of their big assignments for the year. The fellows complete a pre- and post-competency and knowledge assessment at each session, and the fellows' final project reports and their individual development plans are analyzed to determine whether the participants acquired the knowledge and skills that the Institute intended, to determine the extent to which the Institute improved the fellows' leadership capacity, and also to determine the extent to which the Institute leveraged the potential for environmental impact. I've spoken several times about individual development. The fellows complete 3 self-assessments. They're listed here, the SkillScope 360, the MBTI, and the Change Style Indicator. All of these are completed online, and they receive the feedback report and training on each of these self-assessments at the face-to-face meetings in St. Louis and Atlanta. Fellows are required to complete and evaluate their own progress on an individual development plan, or IDP as we call it, as part of the Institute graduation requirements. Each person is asked to identify between 1 to 3 IDP goals that they would like to work on during the year, and based on what they've learned from those feedback reports. In addition, they'll list activities to complete in order to accomplish the leadership skills they would like to improve upon during the year. And then at the end of the year, the fellow will report if the individual activities set at the beginning of the year for each personal goal were completed and if the goal was accomplished. And so I have some results from the IDP for cohort 1 and 2. Cohort 1 selected a total of 55 goals to work on during the Institute year, and at the end of the year, fellows reported 22 goals completely met, 30 goals partially met, and 3 goals not met. Compared to cohort 2, selected a total of 80 goals to work on during the Institute year. At the end of the year, fellows reported 47 goals completely met and 33 goals partially met. Parallel to the individual development plan, the fellows select a project to focus on during the year. So those are the two main assignments during the year, the IDP and this project. The goal of each project is to apply knowledge, skills, and competencies enhanced through the completion of the Institute curriculum and coursework to analyze and consider interventions that may apply to the resolution of the environmental problem. You can see on here that cohort 1 had 18 individual projects and 4 group reports for group projects. I've listed the focus areas that the projects hit on, and also the level of impact range from local to federal, and then combinations of both. And the majority of Cohort 1 projects impacted at the local level. This is just a slide for the results of Cohort 2. I've again listed the focus areas. There were 28 individual projects, 4 group projects, and again, the majority of projects impacted at the local level for Cohort 2. So I believe next you'll have the opportunity to listen to a few of the fellows that have completed the program and gain some insight on the project that they worked on during the Institute year. Any questions? Okay. Oh, yes, in the back. That is a great question, and actually we just had a meeting about a week and a half ago in St. Louis, and since we are currently in our third year, we're going to go back and do a retrospective study with Cohort 1 and 2 since we have those classes are completed. We feel like this is the time to go back and ask those special those questions and evaluate. Yes. They are getting some training and collaborative leadership, and I think the networking aspect is great, that they are able to meet people when they're together from all different programs throughout the country and also at the CDC. So they're developing those network relationships. I don't know that I'm trying to think of some really good examples or stories that I've heard of people going back and doing those things that you mentioned, but none are popping into my head right now. But yes. Sure. On average, we spend about $10,000 per fellow for the entire year. If that is a federal employee that is coming, all they're paying for is their lodging, transportation. They're not paying for the textbooks, the self-assessments that are done online, or the lunches that are paid for during the meeting time. Basically, they're going to be paying for their dinners, their lodging, and getting there. Any other questions? I think Sarah.
You better go on.
Okay.
We will have time for questions at the end if we try to keep on time a little bit. Thank you, Nicole. Now you will get to hear from three of the graduates, the fellows that went through the program. And just one other comment on your question. One of the things that's an option for these fellows is to use the National Environmental Public Health Performance Standards. They're in draft form right now. They will go through OMB review later this year. We hope in 2008 they'll be officially available as a module of the National Public Health Performance Standards. Using those, you assess your agency on the 10 essential services. One of those is educating the community. One of those is mobilizing the community. The 9th one is evaluation. The 10th one is ties to research. If you find a weakness in that, you will have the opportunity to do that. In addition, the systems thinking training requires you to think about all the stakeholders in your community that might impact your project. And if you identify that you need research at the table, which we all should, and we should be thinking that way, we do. But